Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that you can also listen to the show after it's been on the air if you missed the beginning or you want to just listen to it again by going to our website, which is www.nagb.org.bs, and you go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can listen to all the archive shows or forward the MP3 to a friend or whatever you want to do. So do that. We are in the studio talking about the national exhibition, The Fruit and the Seed, which is happens every 2 years with an open call, which we invite artists living and working in the Bahamas or Bahamian artists living abroad to send in their work, which is looked at in this case by a jury of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, including local artist Alan Wallace, Deputy Director of the Central Bank Derek Roll, our Chief Curator Holly Bino, who else was on? John Cox, the artistic director at Bahamar, and 2 international curators who, one of whom is a museum curator in Los Angeles, Naima Keith, and Diana Nawi, that used to work at the Perez Art Museum and is currently a independent curator. And they're actually both the co-curators of the next Prospect New Orleans, which is a big biannual show in New Orleans, actually triannual. And it is very... in the last couple of years, always showcased the work of a Bahamian artist who's gone on to do amazing things. So Tavares Strong in one case, LeVar Monroe in another case. So, of course, we're hoping that they will be seeing more talent here that might end up in the next Prospect New Orleans and allow Bahamian artists to continue to make a huge showing on the world stage. We are turning over to now meet Letitia Pratt.
Hi.
Hi, Letitia. How are you?
I'm
you're
very
okay?
Nervous.
Yes. Yeah, you're nervous. It's like, you know what, everyone's nervous when they come in and then they leave and they're like, yeah, that was okay. So don't you worry. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. You were studied at UB.
Yeah.
What did you study?
I studied English, language and literature.
So I think that's, again, of interest to our audience because I met you as somebody working at the D'Aguilar Art Foundation.
Yeah.
So you studied English, but you have like a particular interest in art, and you are sort of writing about art and learning how to write about art. And now you're an artist, too.
Yeah.
Sort of, right?
Sort of.
Because
yeah.
you're in the National Exhibition.
Okay.
So and we've included poets, but you're there kind of as a poet, but there's also like a visual part of your work.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get interested in art? How did you decide studying English that art was something you wanted to write about?
Okay. To be honest, I didn't want to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught at a little library thing for a year after I graduated college, and it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quit my job because I couldn't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit my job and I went.
Bravo.
Yeah. And when I went to Barbados, I was like, well, I have to figure out something to do afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I like put out my resume to multiple places. It's just that the Saskia, it was the only one who answered.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Saskia and I asked her to give me a job.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. I've always been interested in art, but not very... I didn't think it would be realistic.
Career opportunity.
Yeah, at first, with an English degree especially.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
well, again, like, I think it's something we have to start doing here, and something we're trying to do with formerly COB, now UB, is to liaise with different departments to show how art fits into all those departments and how there are possible careers. Because I always tell people when I'm on the radio, I'm like, you know, we employ 22 people at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many people are employed at Bahamar at the current, but I would say probably a 10 or 15 or 20 maybe. I don't know. Like
9?
It's only 9? Oh my God, that helps. Wow. It seems like more. Okay, but still, let's call it 10 and I've got 20. I mean, and not all those, like actually, not all those positions have to be filled by artists. Most of them are because we don't have here the classes for people that want to do that because there are classes for that. There's, you know, arts management or curatorial practice or, or art history, right? Yeah. I mean, I studied history of art, which is all about writing.
And school, and it was in COB, and it was it was really good, but I just didn't consider, like, I didn't consider at all.
Sure, but I mean, it is, it actually is a viable option.
It's viable. Like, it's viable now.
It's viable now. And as we continue to grow the industry, it's certainly viable globally. So I think that's what happens a lot, is talented Bahamians leave to go get jobs elsewhere, because there are jobs in museums or in magazines or journals. Or, I mean, again, like, I actually just was asked to be asked to join a group of curators, like a kind of, you know, whatever, like a professional grouping. And I was looking at it and I was just scrolling through the list and I was like, oh my Lord, like how many there are in the world, right? How big this industry is. And I think we're just beginning to kind of learn that here, that there are all these possibilities. And so how can we, like, professionalize someone so that so they actually study at UB rather than get out and then discover it after. But so you're learning how to kind of, so what made you want to respond to this call?
Holly.
Okay.
She asked me to submit something. And I said, okay. I didn't really have, I don't know, I didn't really plan on, I don't know, getting in, or I didn't really plan on seriously doing it.
So you were surprised?
I was surprised, yes.
And then did you discuss, because you have a series of poems, and the poems, and we can talk about this more in the next section, just about how you were, I think there was a lot of work in the show that was about a woman's place in the world, but I think specifically after two failed referendums in the Bahamas, and how that is about, you know, self-perception and what we allow to be done to us. And your work very much speaks to, like, again, you know, the power of women, and but there's a visual part of it too. So you didn't just write the poems. They're then framed in sort of very beautiful, I don't know if it's driftwood, but then they're sort of surrounded by natural things. So there's these kind of bent, there's sort of almost like a nest. Okay, yeah, it is. It's like a nest of twigs and bits of trees and sort of dried flowers, and specifically like a lot of dried snake skins.
Yeah.
Which, of course, speaks to Adam and Eve. Where did you come up with that? Was that a plan that you had once you visualized it, or was that also something that Holly, like, how did the visual part, if you don't consider yourself an artist, how did you jump into that part?
It came to me when I wasn't thinking about it.
That's when we get our best ideas.
Yeah, exactly. When I first got the acceptance, it was a couple of weeks. I was just thinking about how I would display it, and like, I was on the phone with my friend and just, I don't know, got an idea. I don't know.
That's how like a lot of creative, I think that's why people doodle, and it's why people do things to disengage their brain, because actually you get your best ideas when your brain is disengaged.
Yeah, free writing.
And you kind of allow parts of your brain to, like, open up, right? Mm-hmm. So it's always like, you know, when you're trying to remember something, you have to stop thinking about it, and it will pop into your head later. Like, when you're trying to remember someone's name, or if you keep trying to grab it, you never get it. It's when you sort of forget about it that it somehow pops up to the surface.
Yeah, that's
so. Did you just sort of see it in your head? And then how did you go about it? Were you, like, going out? Like, how did you, like, did you go look for those things?
Yeah,
were you
out, like, looking. Me and my friend Megan, we went scavenging. I went in Tessa's backyard, Tessa Whitehead's backyard, and she gave me, like, a lot of her, what do you call it? The sticks.
Yeah, I don't know, twigs.
Twigs.
Yeah.
Vine. And my friend Jade, like, her grandmother has a, like, a garden, and she, like, I went there with a bag, and she was, like, giving me, like, handfuls of flowers to try. Not all of them made it, because it was ugly, some of them, when they dried. And it was also my first time drying flowers, so it was just very, like, trial and error. And, like, I don't know.
What looked good. And what would sort of be preserved during the course of the show.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Because that's also, like, a problem for us. Sometimes people put flowers in and the gallery starts to smell, and you're going to get insects, and, you know, those are all kind of, like, curatorial issues we have to deal with, right? Because we have to worry about the other work on display as well, and how anything moldy will affect it. And
That's why I didn't put, Saskia was helpful too, because she was like, don't put glass, because it would get mold. And so, yeah, it was a lot of scavenging and, like, stuff over, like, months.
Did you plan how it was gonna look, or did that happen sort of organically when you were in the gallery? I mean, how precise was it? In like, oh, I'm going to have a bougainvillea in this corner, or did you sort of?
I planned it. Okay. As a writer, I plan things like I plan an article. I mm-hmm. have an outline of things, and with this particular piece of work, I planned initially how I wanted mm-hmm. what would be in each box per mm-hmm. se. And that's it.
Because they're like little treasure boxes.
Yeah, aren't they? Yeah, and that's the end of the planning. It was kind of just like all up in the air, which was stressful for me because I just am a person of like I'm just a person that likes to know where I'm going mm-hmm. and like participating in this work, like doing like artwork that's very organic, depending on like flowers that I don't like. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
So like, just like
yeah, it's scary. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where it's going to end up. Are you happy with how it ended up when you look at it?
I like it.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. I think it's just lovely. And did you come across the snakes and then?
Yeah, I came across a snake. Like me and Megan, my friend Megan, was at Clifton Heritage mm-hmm. looking for like some flowers and stuff, and like we went on this path and the snake was like dead in the middle of the road, and I was like, oh my god, I gotta pick it up, I gotta have this nasty moldy snake in your car, Megan. And she was like, oh, okay, all right, sure. And I went and washed it in the sea and like wrapped it up in like multiple plastic bags mm-hmm. so it doesn't smell too bad, and like held it in alcohol and like bothered everybody about how the hell I'm gonna like preserve this.
I see. I just thought you just came across the skin because you know how snakes shed their skin. I just assumed you came across
the skin. The skin was different. Yeah. I went to this guy at Adventure Learning Center. I forgot his name. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I called them, I think, and I was like, y'all have any snake skin? And he was like, for what? I was like, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm a poet, but maybe I'm an artist.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Anyway, they gave me the snake.
Oh, that's nice.
And yeah, it was very nice of them. And I gave them like...
Is there anything else that I missed? That any other things that have like a meaning? And the snake skins just popped out at me because, of course, like whenever as an art historian, whenever you see a snake, you just think of Adam and Eve right away.
Yeah.
Was there anything other objects that for you hold a specific meaning?
That's a good question. I like the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they hold meaning for me. I just like that they are. I think they're so fragile. Mm-hmm. Everything I found was already dead, so mm-hmm. that's. Mm-hmm. But like, and also Natalie gave me some bugs. Natalie gave me the bees, I think,
mm-hmm.
and the centipede.
I'm not going to ask why Natalie has a cache of bees in her house, but that wouldn't surprise me.
I was like, thanks, Natalie. No problem. But. Yeah, I just like them.
Well, again, like over-reading into everything, as mm-hmm. An art historian would be prone to do, I would, my first thought would be bugs can be reviled and mistreated, but are very necessary for the growth of nature, yeah. right? And the continuation of the human species. I think right now we're having a bug apocalypse,
and we're
destroying too many bugs, well, and bees, but a lot of bugs that do mm-hmm. really, really important work. And that connects to, again, like women in an interesting way in terms mm-hmm. of valuing domestic work or valuing mm-hmm. the unseen work that women do that can be taken for granted. So, you know, again, like I said, it's probably me overreading. But
no, I think that's probably right.
But let's say that's what it was. We're going to now go to another quick break. And then afterwards, we can just, you know, generally speak about, again, I think there's themes here that are very relevant that you're both kind of exploring and that we saw a lot coming up in the NE. And I think it might be interesting to mine some of those ideas about the woman's place in society and what we're all kind of doing is in our own practices to change some of that or to reevaluate our own meaning and worth. So we're going to talk about that after the break. I'm talking to Letitia Pratt and Sydney Colby. Mm. And and both participating artists in the NE9, or the Ninth Exhibition, which is currently on at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And you can come and see that every day of the week, except Monday when we're closed. And on Tuesday to Saturday, there is a fee to get in. But on Sundays, as I continue to say, it is always free for everybody. We have what we call Bahamian Free Sundays. But please, residents who are not Bahamian nationals, that does not mean you're excluded. We welcome everybody on Sunday living in the Bahamas to come for free to the National Art Gallery to enjoy all of the work we have on show. And on our fourth Sundays, we give free tours. So, you know, check out the calendar, see when the next one's happening, and please come on down and visit us and learn more about Bahamian art and culture at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.